We're going to delay our study in 1 Thessalonians for a week, knowing we would have a lot of people gone. This week was a large part of the reason for that. And 1 Chronicles 16 is a very appropriate passage for us to consider at this time of the year. So listen as I read the Word of God. So they brought the Ark of God and set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he distributed to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. And he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph the chief, and next to him Zechariah, then Jael, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaiah, and Obed-Edom. Jael with the stringed instruments and the harps, but Asaph made music with cymbals. Benaiah and Jehaziel the priests regularly blew the trumpets before the Ark of the Covenant of God. On that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. When you were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, and from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all its fullness. Let the field rejoice and all that is in it. Then the trees of the woods shall rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles, to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. So he left Asaph and his brothers there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to minister before the ark regularly, as every day's work required. And Obed-Edom, with his 68 brethren, including Obed-Edom, the son of Jeduthun, and Hosah, to the gatekeepers. And Zadok the priest and his brethren the priests before the tabernacle of the Lord at the high place that was at Gibeon to offer burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of burnt offering regularly morning and evening, and to do according to all that is written in the law of the Lord, which he commanded Israel. And with them Heman and Jeduthun and all the rest who were chosen, who were designated by name to give thanks to the Lord, because his mercy endures forever. And with them Heman and Jeduthun to sound aloud with trumpets and cymbals and the musical instruments of God. Now the sons of Jeduthun were gatekeepers. Then all the people departed, every man to his house, and David returned to bless his house. Well, sometimes it's easy to come off of high points in terms of our spiritual walk, kind of come down from the mountain, as we sometimes say. And perhaps some of you are coming down from the mountain of turkey this week, of mashed potatoes, and gravy, and stuffing, and you feel like it'll take you a while to return to normal. And we're called at this time of the year by our president to give thanks, to set apart one day for the nation to give thanks to God. And David did much the same thing here in 1 Chronicles 16. And you see the background of what was going on. They were bringing the ark to the place where the temple would one day be. God had promised that he would show where his place of worship was to be. And now the people were seeing these salvific acts of God coming to pass in their own time. And so in verse 1 here, you see they bring the ark and they set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. And this is now in Jerusalem. And this would be the place for the burnt offerings and the peace offerings and all the worship before the Lord. And so the people were called to give thanks and to rejoice because of this great thing that they had seen. And we're called to give thanks too because we've seen the salvific work of God. We've seen it in history with the work of Christ, and we've seen it in our own day with the work that God has done in our lives. And so his work is a thing to celebrate. And you see the similarity to our thanksgiving here in verse 3. David gave to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a piece of pie, or a cake of raisins here at the end. There was food. There was celebration. This was to be a good time. And the people needed to give thanks. And so David led them in giving thanks by giving this psalm. And it's we're told in verse 7 that this psalm was first delivered into the hand of Asaph to thank the Lord. This was the purpose. David wanted to lead the people in giving thanks. And there are three real reasons, or three primary categories in this psalm of thanksgiving. Reasons for thanks. You see the first of these reasons in verses 8 through 13. We're to give thanks here, first of all, because of the great things that God has done. We're told in verse 8 to make known his deeds among the people, to talk of all his wondrous works in verse 9, to glory in his holy name and to rejoice as those who seek the Lord. And then verse 12, to remember his marvelous works, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth as his children. We're to remember his wondrous works, all the things that he has done. And that he has granted us our salvation. We're to remember what he did in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. We're to remember the words that he's declared to us in his love and in his kindness. We're to remember those kinds of big things that God has done. But we're also to remember on a daily basis the things that God has done for us as well. You see, part of the reason that David gave this psalm was so that as people came down from the mountain of this high experience, that they would have words in their mouths to instruct them as to how it is that they should give thanks. You see, the mountaintop experience, in one sense, isn't supposed to end. Thanksgiving as a holiday in our land is not to be so much an event as much as it is a catalyst for us to give thanks through the rest of the year. And that's what David does here, to remember the great things that God has done. And so we need to be a thankful people, a people who give thanks every time we drag the trash out to the end of the driveway. We ought to be people who give thanks for all the things that came in those packages. It's amazing how much garbage we take out every week as a people. And the only reason we take all that out is because the Lord has given us so much more in all those things, hasn't He? So it's a great time for us to give thanks. It's so easy for us to covet and to long for all the things that we don't have. But what God wants us to do is to remember all that He has done for us. And we as a people are so blessed with material things. We're so blessed with technology and ability to travel and all kinds of things that people in previous generations didn't have. It's easy for us to grumble about a new day as the automatic coffee pot clicks on while we're still in bed and the smell begins to rise through the house. All these little things ought to remind us of just how much we have to thank the Lord for. So He's done great things. He's done great things in history. He's done great things for us as we wake up each day and even as we take the trash out week to week. The second major category here is verses 14 through 22. In this section, we're to thank the Lord that He remembers His covenant forever. You see the promises that are recounted here, that God has been faithful to fulfill. And it uses the example here of the covenant to Abraham, given to Isaac and given to Jacob on into verse 17, as an everlasting covenant to give them the land of Canaan as the allotment for their inheritance. This was, of course, just a small taste of giving them one piece of land and Jesus coming later to lay claim to the whole earth and to send His people out into all the earth. But the psalmist here recounts in verses 19 on through 22 about how the people were few in number. They were strangers. They bounced around from one nation to the other. And yet though they were small and weak, God preserved them. And He was faithful to His promises and He gave them what He had promised them. And the Lord was not merely faithful to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, but He's been faithful to us as well as He sent the kings to rule over the land and then the prophets to declare God's word. And finally, He sent His own Son into the world to be the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world and to bring to fulfillment all those promises in God's covenant of grace to save sinful people like you and like me. The Lord's been faithful to His covenant, and we need to remember that over and over again because our porous minds so often forget how great God is in keeping His covenant promises. So we're to remember Him for the great things that He's done. We're to remember Him because He's kept His covenant, and there's a lot of overlap there, certainly, and there's more overlap with the third major category here in verses 23 through the end of the psalm. We're to thank the Lord because He is the supreme ruler over all the earth. It's filled with this kind of language. We're to sing to the Lord to proclaim the good news of His salvation because He's great and He's greatly to be praised. He's feared above all gods. And because the Lord made the heavens, and honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and gladness are in His place. We're told in verse 30 that the whole of the earth trembles before Him, and the world is firmly established because of Him, and it shall not be moved. And so because of all this, not only we should rejoice and give thanks, but the heavens rejoice, and the sea roars, and the field rejoices, and the trees of the woods rejoice before the Lord there, you see in verse 33, because He is the judge of all the earth. And it's because of God's greatness that we ought to simply sit back and give thanks. To give thanks to Him, as it says here in verse 34, because He's good and because His mercy endures forever. And we ought to say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together in order to give thanks to your holy name. So David wrote this psalm so that the people would remember this, so that they would be trained day by day in giving thanks, and that these would be words to remember. Well, you see the response from the people at the end of verse 36. They all said amen because they knew of God's great works. They remembered his covenant promises, and they knew that he was great and greatly to be praised as the supreme ruler of all the earth. And David then, as he sent the people away, appointed Asaph and his brothers to be before the Ark of the Covenant, to minister daily, and then also to be leaders of praise, as you see on down in verse 41 through 43. And as the people went to their homes, one of the things that Asaph and these others did was they took this psalm of praise, and it was they were led by the Holy Spirit, and they ended up dividing it into at least four different psalms. Psalm 105, the A selection, which we sang already, is the first part of this. And then 96A and 96B comprise most of the second parts. And we'll sing some from Psalm 106A here in a moment. They did just as David desired. They put it in a form so that we would be able to use it and to give thanks to God for his great works. Well, the psalm itself tells us how it is that we are to give thanks. Here are some of the ways in which we're to give thanks. We're to call upon his name. We're to make known his deeds. We're to sing to him. We're to talk of all his wondrous works. We're to glory in his holy name. We're to seek him, to seek his strength and his face. We're to remember his marvelous works, his wonders, and his judgments. We're to remember his covenant forever. We're to sing to him. We're to proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. We're to declare his glory among the nations. We're to give him glory and strength. We're to bring an offering. We're to tremble before him. We're to give thanks and to say to him, save us. Now you notice most of those are things that we do with our tongues. We're to give thanks verbally to the Lord. And so it would seem very fitting then to ask you, as you sit here today, take this opportunity to give thanks for whatever it is the Lord has put on your heart. We need to remember that we give thanks to God in all of this. You know, it's a fearful thing to think about unbelievers celebrating a day of thanks. Who do you thank? I guess yourself or maybe other people around you, but we have the great privilege of thanking the living God who has made us and redeemed us. So we need to remember that God has designed his word to lead us in giving thanks daily. That giving thanks is not an event. It's not a one time a year or one week, one day of the week event. But it is something that we ought to do daily as we get out of bed, as we go about our lives, and as we get back in bed at the end of the day. Well, let's rise and let's give thanks to God for these many things. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today as a grateful people. And we're grateful, most of all, Lord, because you are our God, as has been said here. And you've called us to be your people. And you've called us to be part of this family of families together. And so, Lord, we give you praise and we give you thanks that you have called us to be your own and that you have given us yourself. Lord, there's no greater gift that we could ask for than that you would give us yourself in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the host of other things that you have given to us. We thank you, Lord, that as we rose from our beds today, that you gave us life and breath, that you've given us beds in which to rise and homes in which to be warm and to have a roof over our head and places to eat, and a good food to eat, just as we've enjoyed here today already. Lord, we thank you for the way in which you caused the vehicles that we drive to start when we turned the key this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the great abundance that you have poured out upon us. Lord, we thank you now for giving us family. We thank you that you established a family there in the Garden of Eden by calling Adam and Eve to be together. We thank you, Lord, for our work and our labor that is such a privilege. We thank you that you gave us work there in the garden, Lord, before sin had ever entered the picture. And we pray that you would give us grace to enjoy you in our work and to enjoy the blessings that come with the labor of our hands. Lord, we thank you that you've created us to be a creative people made after your image, and that you've called us to be able to use our minds and our hands. And Lord, we thank you that you allow us to learn and to grow. We thank you, Lord, for education, not simply in a book learning sense, but in all of life. Lord, we're awed when we think about what Adam and Eve started with, and when we consider what they had when they left the garden, and then the way, Lord, you have allowed men and women to use the gifts and skills that you have given to develop and continue to grow, and then to see the physical prosperity that is all around us. And we thank you, Lord, that in that you've given us your word so that we could know how it is that we are to love you and to know you and to rule over your creation. We thank you we've not been left to wander on our own, but that you've so graciously given us your word so that we would know how to live and how to go through life. Lord, we thank you that you place other people around us to encourage us and to build us up. And we thank you for the relationships that you put us in where we can build one another up and sharpen one another as iron sharpens iron. Lord, we thank you that you are a God that has made our physical bodies and that you've given us health and strength. And we thank you for that great comfort and that hope that we have of eternal life. And Lord, we look forward to that great resurrection day when our bodies will be raised from the dead and made perfect in glory. Lord, we thank you for the way in which you lead us forward, the way in which you're faithful to your covenant, and the way in which you, Lord Jesus, lead us as the King of your people. We would be without hope in this world without you. And so we thank you that you have created this world for us and that you've called us to know and to love you through your word and the work of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, give us grace that we wouldn't forget the great things that you've done, but that we'd keep singing about them to be reminded of it. We pray, Lord, that you'd cause us to be mindful of your covenant promises that you have so faithfully kept through the ages. And Lord, we thank you because you are a great God and you're greatly to be praised. And so we cast ourselves upon you, thanking you most of all, Lord, that you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the propitiation for our sins so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be free, and that we can know the living God. We thank you, Lord, for all of this, and we pray now that you'd build into our hearts a greater sense of thankfulness day by day and week by week. And we pray all of this in and through the name of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen.